inviting me and giving me the opportunity to present my work. So I will talk about SD residuals and cosmological parameter estimation. It's a work that I've been doing with my PhD supervisors, Nabila Aghanim, Marion Douspy, and Mathieu Langer at IAS in France. So first, the context of my study. From COBE to W map, we had large-scale observations of the CMB, both in temperature and polarization. And this led us to a sort of concordance model with the standard cosmological parameters constraint with a very good precision. Then we are now observing, we are now having complementary experiments that are observing at small scales. And what we can notice is that we have an excess power in respect to what is expected from pure primary CMB. So there's no doubt that this power excess mainly comes from the SZ signal, which is one of the secondary anisotropy of the primary CMB. At these small scales, this is the main secondary anisotropy, and it even dominates over the primary signal for multiples higher than 2,500. So the question is how to deal with this Sunev-Zeldovich effect in CMB experiments. So we can consider different approaches. We can either fit the total signal with a model that describes both primary and the secondary signal. And this will be addressed in the next talk that Marion will present. Or we can remove the SD contribution of the detected cluster, that will be detected thanks to their SD signal. In this case, we're left with primary CMB and the Sunev-Zeldovich residuals. So in this talk, I will study the second approach in order to determine if it's a valuable method. To that purpose, I need a method to determine to calculate the biases induced on cosmological parameter estimation by these SZ residuals. So here is the outline of my talk. I will first present a general method for bias estimation that we developed at IAS. Then I will detail the calculation of the SZ residuals after having detected some SZ clusters. And I will finally present my results applying the formalism introduced in the first section to the residuals calculated in the second part. So let's consider a data set that contains primary signal and any kind of additive signal. When one is fitting the signal with a description of primary and additive signal, the best fitting model, let's call theta 1, is recovered. We will call this model the fiducial models in the following. When the residuals or the additive signal is neglected, of course, the best fitting model is different. Let's call it theta 2. And this this parameter set is shifted from the fiducial one. What I call the bias is, of course, the difference between these two parameter sets. So what we want is an analytical method to calculate these biases when the additive signal is neglected. So we based our work on the following assumptions, which are similar to the widespread Fisher matrix analysis. The Fisher matrix analysis is used in order to have an idea of the accuracy that can be obtained on some cosmological, some parameters given an experiment. So we use the same hypothesis, Gaussian distributed errors of each CL data point. So in this case, to estimate parameters, we just have to minimize the chi square here. And the variance covariance matrix coefficients are supposed independent of the cosmological parameters. What is important to keep in mind is that in this Swan's covariance matrix are encoded the instrumental characteristic, for example, the beam or the noise of the experiment. So when fitting the signal with a full description, we have to minimize this chi-square with this model here. And when neglecting the additive signal, the theoretical model used to fit the data is given by this formula. So what we showed is that the bias when the additive signal is neglected can be calculated analytically using this formula. So this J matrix is the following, and you can see that the first line is nothing more than the Fisher matrix. Here are two additive coefficients. And what is also important to notice is that the bias is an expression of the first and second derivative of the only the primary signal. So you just have to calculate basically the derivatives or your primary CMB with respect to each of the cosmological parameters, and the additive signal only intervene here. You don't need the derivative of this signal. So as a result, this method is very efficient, because since you have calculated all your primary CMB derivatives once, you can just calculate it or estimate biases induced by any kind of additive signal, just replacing this in the formula. So the advantages are, first, what I just said. It's also faster than a full MCMC-based study. It's applicable for any kind of additive signal that can be negligible or not. This is especially important in our case, because the SZ signal is no more negligible at high multiples compared to primary CMB. And of course, you can use it for any kind of additive signal, astrophysics or simply or systematics. Now that I have presented the analytical method for bias estimation, I will present the method I use to calculate the SZ residuals. So first of all, let's consider upcoming multi-frequencies experiments. And we know that the Sunez-Eldovich effect has a typical spectral signature. So given this, we will detect thousands of galaxy clusters through the SZ effect. These clusters can, the SZ contribution of this cluster can, of course, be removed from the CMB data. And in this case, we are left with CMB plus all the SZ contribution coming from the undetected cluster. So the question I address in the introduction of my talk is, are these residuals a problem for parameter estimation? Can we neglect them? So to answer this question, of course, we have to choose an experiment. Let's choose, for example, the Planck, the upcoming Planck mission. Let's calculate the TSZ residuals. So we need a selection function in order to determine which clusters this mission will be able to detect through the SZ effect. And then compute the TSZ residual angular power spectrum, and finally calculate the biases induced on cosmological parameters. So here is the way I calculated the selection function. It's a nuclearized selection function. I consider the cluster to be detected if it's been convolved from some parameter energies from the contingent noise here, and if the integrated signal is above the instrumental limit simultaneously in the three channels of interest for the SZ effect in the Planck mission. So what you can see here is this Y-lin parameter describes the SZ sensitivity of, for example, the Planck mission. And lambda here is a coefficient that you can choose that represents the detection threshold for your SZ cluster. Yeah, what I did is calculate the limit mass for given ratchet by cluster tree detected for each channel, and then I say a cluster is detected if it's simultaneously detected in the channels.
But since the ST has a particular spectral signature, in principle, if you combine the channels simultaneously, you can detect cluster much better. Because you can get rid of the CMB. Right.
Yeah, you still, this is a study case, first of all, so I just want to consider all the TNC results. This is, of course, pessimistic, but even combining all the channels, you won't detect all the clusters. We still have some levels of residuals. I will address it a bit later in my. Here is the selection function I obtained. So basically, the detected cluster will be low edges on I mass clusters, and all the undetected cluster, all the signal coming from this undetected cluster will constitute the SZ residual signal. On the right side is the distribution of the detected cluster for different detection thresholds. So here is an optimistic one sigma detection threshold, and you can see that in this case, more than 10,000 clusters are expected to be detected. This is, of course, very, very optimistic. A more realistic case is 3 or 5 sigma detection from the cluster, and in this case, you can expect to detect approximately 2 or 4,000 clusters. So the lower the detection threshold is for your cluster, of course, the lower is the number of detected clusters, and the higher will be the residual contribution.
This is also based on this model of Matthias?
To calculate the selection function. Yeah, this is quite simple.
Basically, you change this then to sigma 8.8.
For this calculation, I used the WMAP 5 parameters, so it's in my.
Yeah. So are you assuming you after the point system?
No, I didn't assume any kind of contamination for this one.
No, I think just cluster themselves. Do you assume it has a size or it's a point?
No, they have a size, yeah.
Well, because that does change that result. So, I mean, the thing is the question, are you assuming that they are resolved or unresolved? That's my question.
Some of them will be resolved.
Because that decreases the sensitivity. But I think James Bartlett, I remember, used this thought that if you assume that they are all unresolved, you would predict to see many more clusters than if you actually include the fact that they are not all resolved because they have a finite size. So if you see them across several pixels, then you have more noise basically than on one pixel. And so then many of them that you would detect if they were a point, they are not a point, so you wouldn't detect it. So I was just wondering if you include that effect. That can change things by a factor of 2 or so.
I do not work on maps, so
okay,
I did not really care about pixels. This is just based on an analytical
okay.
description from my class. So now let's compute the TSZ residual angular power spectrum. So the power spectrum has two contributions. One is the Poissonian contribution, and the other one comes from the correlation between the clusters. It has been shown that the second one can be neglected for multiples higher than 300, so we'll not pay attention to this additional contribution in the rest of my study. As a result, the Poissonian contribution writes this one. You can see that from the cosmology has to be taken into account in the calculation. It intervenes through the minimum volume and the mass function, and of course the intra-cluster gas properties also intervenes in the calculation of the angular cluster. So this is how the simple assumptions are made I've managed to calculate this angular spectrum. And in order to calculate the residual power spectrum, you just integrate to the limit mass that you can estimate from the selection function I just talked about in the previous slide. So on the left plot, the black curves represent pure primary CMB calculated for WMAP 5 cosmological parameters. The green curve represents the total SD signal, and the red curves represent the SD signal after having removed the SD contribution of the three sigma respective clusters. So what you can see is that the difference is mainly at quite large angles. So this is logical because Planck will mainly detect high mass clusters and low mass clusters.
It's a very significant contribution to the search PTS. The correction is significant for amplitude of search peak already, yes?
Yeah. There's, but you can see that the logical contribution is almost the same as the total analysis contribution. And this affects the these things. The blue curve is the blue curve is the what I call the total signal primary CMB plus SD residuals. And let's compare this SD residual contribution to the total signal. This is on the right plot, and what you can see is that for multiples higher than 1,000, whatever is the detection threshold for your SD cluster, the residuals contribute more than 10% of the CMB signal. So this contribution is quite important. And you can even notice that this contribution exceeds the uncertainties of the CL. The uncertainties we expect from the CL smooth plan. So as a result, we have quite a lot of residuals, and we expect these residuals to have an impact of on cosmological parameters.
So, I have a question. One effect I don't think you included is effect detections, because of these three sigma detections, they are not all real clusters. Some of them are fake, right?
Yeah, I do not include fake detections for. Of
but,
course. Yeah.
But what you think is that if you do it in practice, you're going to remove some places where there is no real cluster.
Yeah, and you will also forget.
And that would reduce the CMB signal, because that's, so you have CMB plus clusters, but in these three sigma, some percentage of them, 1% of them, or I don't know, 0.5% of them, are not your clusters, so you're just removing CMB. And that's going to reduce your primary CMB powers, right?
Yeah, other places you need also, because of confusion noise, not remove some clusters. So in some places, maybe some CMB will be removed, but other.
Well, that's a question. I mean, that's a different effect. That, so here, you're just assuming that all of these are clusters.
Yeah, but in this case, I assume no false detection.
But you agree that there is this additional bias that, especially if you stick to 3 sigma, there could be a lot of fake detections if you may remove a lot of real CMB other than clusters.
Yeah.
So you should, I'm just saying you should take that into account.
So now let's apply the first method in order to estimate the biases of cosmological parameters. So let's focus on the black crosses and ellipses first. The black crosses represents the fiducial model, so it's basically the WMAP5 model, and the black ellipses, they represent the expected accuracy on each of these parameters using the temperature and polarization spectrum and the Planck instrument. Then, as we saw, we expect some levels of SD residuals in the Planck data. So in this study, I neglected the polarization that SD also add, because in fact, telling that you come back to primary same differentiation. So I just focus on the thermalizing vertices. What you can see here, these colored crosses are the bias on the cosmological parameters when you neglect the results after different detection threshold for the SZ detective cluster. So the mainly biased parameters are, for example, the biothermal, the spectral index, and the typical delta ionization. And what you can see, so the biases are this vector between the black crosses and the colored crosses. For example, for the NS and parameter, the bias is expected to be really, really huge, 10 times in the worst case, the expected precision on this cosmological parameter. So here is quite the same as the previous plot. I represented the biases in units of the expected accuracy on this parameter as a function of the detection level of the SZ clusters. For the parameters of my model, and you can see as when you increase the detection threshold, of course, you're left with more residuals. Your cosmological parameters, mainly NS and TO, are more strongly biased. And this is really increasing the number of expected accuracy that these clusters, these parameters are biased. Of course, we saw that there's a problem due to the SZ residual contribution. One could say, of course, you could try not to use the high multiple part of the filter spectrum. For example, cut it at L equal 1,000. So in this case, you expect lower biases on cosmological parameter, of course, because you get rid of the contaminated part of the spectrum. But what about the accuracy of parameter estimation in this case? So the black crosses on ellipses still represents expected accuracy around the diffusion model. The blue crosses are the biases induced if you neglect TSZ residual after facing my detection. And the red crosses and red ellipses represent the biases and expected accuracy on your parameter if you neglect the TT spectrum for multiples higher than 1,000. So what you can see is, of course, doing so, you reduce the bias in your cosmological parameters. But for some parameters, and especially the spectral index, the bias is still quite important. And on top of that, we degrade the accuracy on the parameters. You can see that the red ellipses are bigger than the black ellipses. The accuracy is degraded by approximately 15 to 20% on these standard cosmological parameters. Then I will present the work of Rubin Martin from the Planck working group number 2. Of course, the work I presented is a bit simple. We will not be left with such an important level of residuals. Using different frequencies and component separation, we can expect to move quite an important amount of the SZ contribution. But this component separation is, of course, not perfect. This is presented here. Here, the vertical lines are the standard model. That's
yeah. So this assumes now the Planck reference model for the NSZ clusters, right? Or is it assuming the analytic model that you use?
No, this is based on maps from the Planck working.
Okay.
So this is.
And how do they filter clusters to link them? Do they use mesh filter rings?
I don't know.
It's mesh filter.
So it's the
on patches on this guy, not on the group sky.
Not on the group sky. So they basically project the all sky maps, and then they do mesh filtering on the square maps.
Yeah.
And in this case, the black curve represents the distribution for each of these cosmological parameters we expect to recover. Of course, they are still biased because of these levels of residuals that still remain after component separation. And what you can see, for example, from the NX parameter is that the bias is still a lot of many times the expected factor. So this bound.
And another thing, is this based on a sigma 8.9? Because initially this was sigma 8.9 the outspin mark. Because number of clusters gives is very important for the sort of accuracy here, I guess, that might sort of change the conclusions here.
Yeah. It's the last version of the sigma sky model. I don't know. I think it's a previous one.
I think this work was done 1 year ago. So maybe.
So this has been redone?
This sky model?
I don't know which version of the Planck sky model they use. I guess it's 4.8, but I couldn't say for sure.
So let's consider one last case in which we suppose a better component separation that would allow to remove almost all the TLZ. In this case, we still have problems, for example, like consorts, as was discussed yesterday, the kinetic LZ. So in order just to study the impact of the KIZ, let's consider this channel in which the TLZ vanishes. And still the same presentation, black ellipses are the expected accuracy around the fiducial model, and the red crosses are the biases induced by the kinetic LZ. As you can see, the inflation-related parameters, NS and sigma 8, are expected to be not as strongly biased, but still biased. This is quite an ideal case in which all the TLZ would have been removed. So here are my conclusions. So I presented an exact analytical method for in order to calculate biases induced by any kind of additive signal. I applied it to the TLZ residuals in CMB analysis, and we showed that we expect significant bias on this parameter, and especially the spectral index. Applying this analysis to the case of Planck, we know that the biases are expected to be several times the expected accuracy on these parameters. Here is some ongoing work. Of course, my work is pessimistic. I think not only a contaminant, as was shown on Monday, can use the as a signal to constrain gas physics within the clusters. The method I studied is also quite pessimistic because of the level of residuals that I use. One can also consider the other method I presented in the introduction, fitting both primary and secondary anisotropies at the same time. And this is the problem that my work will address right now. Thank you.
I have a basic question. When you say three sigma cluster, do you mean you detected a three sigma in all three of your bands, 100, 140?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are
so they're probably pretty significant detections then. They're detected in all three bands. It's really.
I'm sorry.
If you really detected in all three bands, they're actually very. It's very unlikely that that could be CMB.
Yeah. I chose detection in three bands in order to be quite realistic. Because these three bands will be without a great importance for as a cluster of this section.
So ultimately, is the game plan going to be to describe these residuals as some nuisance parameters and then marginalize and take a hit on the accuracy of your parameter estimates? So presumably where you'll go at the end of the day.
Could be one of
One could also say that we could also do this sort of analysis fitting the parameters and the residuals at the same time. This will, of course, be much better than neglected residuals. But in this case, the main problem is that we need an explicit knowledge of the cluster selection function and a quite good description of the residuals, which is, in fact, even more complicated than the method that will be addressed in the next talk.
Another possibility would be to sort of explain the theoretical contribution for the set power spectrum, you know, to sort of bound it theoretically and then to sort of marginalize over. That might sort of give you somewhat a better accuracy parameters without actually introducing some biases.
Yeah, for the residual spectrum.
I think it would go for the second one.
May I ask you, you talk about thousands of clusters. How many, this is for WMAP parameter, this number is rather stable. And my question is, how many of them will be discovered or will be already visible after half a year, after the first time of the full start? Would it be possible, for example, to detect 300 or 400 clusters just in the first scan of the sky? Did you try to see this? Would it be possible to give this catalog in half a year?
I really don't know, but what I know is that this expected number, in fact, strongly depends on the physics you put in your simulations. So I've done this work with a different model. If you do the same with the gas in hydrostatic equilibrium, with the level of and white distribution, this number will be strongly decreased.
How many times? Strongly, this means you will get 200 clusters.
No.
Or this is different between 1100 and 1050.
Yeah, it's a factor 1.5.
Okay. 1.5. It's also. 50.
I remember factor 2 actually. I think it's just based what I was talking about. That is, people usually assume that clusters are pointless, but they are not really that.
Yes.
So the noise is actually bigger than because they are spread across the rock.
Yes.
That, I think, is around the factor of 2, 3, I don't remember exactly.
Immediately gives you. But this is the reason why, for example, people are unable till now to detect Virgo cluster, which is the closest, which is very big, mm-hmm. and WMAP has no excuse to say that it cannot resolve Virgo, you know? But they cannot give signal. And I asked many people, and my impression is that they even tried to do this. It is too big. Yes. But there should be general decrease. Nevertheless, if you have the map of the whole sky, why you cannot find big decrease in the sky?
Multiple frequencies. Multiple frequencies. So they should be able to spectrally sort of separate out as the.
Yes, they cannot do. This is just radio contribution.
There might be fluctuations in the radio contribution are large enough to
use them. M87, they're in the center, right? I mean,
no, it's very small, but in the central part, it's
very
small.
It's very small.
But cluster is huge.
Right.
Therefore, and cluster is much more hot than M87.
Right. But I'm wondering if it's large enough to use the water for the foreground to be balanced.
Yes, it's also
true.
Rashid, I showed you a map of that. I think I showed it's a 2-sigma.
Two sigma, yes.
If you call it a but the thing is that each have many pixels, each has its own noise, so you add up all the noise.
But But then I understood you that only one way is multi-frequency observations, and then you can,
right,
it will give additional
possibility that there's multiple foreground components, there's multiple frequencies, you end up being kind of noisy.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, James, one last question. I don't know, maybe this is a naive question, but I'd be a little bit surprised to detect SZ clusters that you then couldn't see by any other means in red galaxies or X-rays or whatever. So would it be possible to just cut out half the sky that you know has clusters in it from those other means and do the analysis on the other half, or is that not going to work with Planck? I mean, do you have enough information from something like ROSAT to just remove 30% of the sky and then do the power spectrum on the other 30%, where you know you've got rid of a lot of the power from SZ?
I guess we could, because if we take the most pessimistic cases for the number of clusters that we're getting, and basically they are all known. But at higher,
in this case,
you can do it. At higher, a lot of that power is from hydrogen shift clusters that Rosa might be seeing. So you got to remove the mass.
I mean, presumably you know, you don't know how many clusters there are, but you know what the integrated signal is because it has to account for all the stuff that is in CMB, right?
Well, there's also biases.
I think that it's very difficult to play with integrated signal, especially in ROSAT case, because in the soft band, you are very strongly polluted by the local emission.
Okay.
And it will be much more difficult. And even in hard X-rays, we see now with integral that sky is not uniform at all. For example, integral sees that local concentration of mass immediately give you higher hard X-ray signal and fluctuations are significantly more than even 20%. Just where we have these huge concentrations of mass and galaxies in our vicinity, we see from that place a lot of more fluctuation from other places.
And for, I mean, I guess some appreciable fraction of the assets coming from, say, above redshift ones or red galaxies wouldn't work as a tracer of. I just think on some patches of the sky, like Sloan, you should be able to, if you just cut out all the sky that has bright red galaxies in it, you know, could you not extract parameters?
But I think the red galaxies for Planck already are distributed by the uniform. If you go to redshift more than 0.3,
you'll be cutting out a lot of the sky. You'll be cutting out a lot of the sky. That's right. So
yes.
Take this approach.
I mean, maybe it gets back to doing a cut of 1,000 that you just lose statistically. But it just seems counterintuitive. You think that if you're getting an asset signal from something, you should be able to detect it in some other way, right, as a cluster.
There was, just to continue the discussion, there was not very pleasant for me information in the end of the talk, because it was told by you that all clusters which you will detect, or we will detect with Planck, these are mainly well-known clusters. And yesterday from SPT and ACT, we heard that it is possible to detect clusters which nobody knows till now.
Is that very complimentary?
And it's great. But in previous band, Planck was going to detect many thousands of clusters. People thought that new clusters will appear. Today we are coming really to the nearby universe, and this is just to check many things, but it is not as attractive as that you have completely independent.
I think we're all facing the harsh reality of Sigma 8.
Yes, Sigma 8. You should destroy it off.
It's like the stock market.
Exactly.
So let's thank Nicholas one more time.